1-800-449-8686. Now, Bill Hendricks.
Tell me what it is that basically is happening.
So what's happening is this. We've called an Emergency Homeowners Association meeting for tonight, as well as, more importantly, our school board, to address some concerns that may come up about the movie.
All right, I'm talking with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association and parent-teacher organization. Now, what happened, basically, is some people went to see the film Bruce Almighty.
That is correct, yes.
Now, that stars Jim Carrey as who?
Well, the story, it's really a wonderful story, Phil, and we enjoyed it. My husband, Steve, and I enjoyed it. About a young man who is given the job of God, by God. It's not that material. It's not the plot that we find fault with, and we don't really find fault with anything. What we're saying is some people are going to be shocked, and we want everyone to understand. We understand, but we want everyone to be prepared who doesn't get it and who doesn't understand.
What is the you're talking about Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman's in the film, right?
Yes, he is. He's a wonderful actor.
We're a very big Morgan Freeman fan.
I'm sorry, is that Steve Dooley?
Yeah, it's my husband, Steve.
We're big Morgan Freeman fans, so.
Well, I think Mr. Freeman's a terrific actor, too. What's the specific?
The specific is, Phil, and please understand again, I do not find fault. My husband does not find fault. I want to be very clear on that.
All right.
We simply want to warn people that Morgan Freeman, in the movie, plays the character of God. Now,
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. George Burns played God.
Well, the problem, though, Phil, is I understand that Mr. Burns played God, and of course we've had a great, we've got a great tradition of characters in the film business playing venerated people. The problem that some people, and I underline some people may have, is that Mr. Freeman is African-American.
We're just afraid that people will be upset.
And let me just say, and that we want people to remember it's only a movie. And that...
Okay, so your concern is that some people will be offended?
I think a lot of people are going to be shocked and be offended by it, yeah. And our point is this, and again, I'm not shocked and offended. My husband Steve and I are fine with it. We're fine with it. Because we really had to, you know, when we got in the car, we saw the movie at the Promenade on Sunday.
Okay.
And
we got shut out. We tried to go see the flick on Saturday night. We got completely shut out.
Oh, it's very popular. And we saw the movie, and we were driving home, and I was saying to Steve, how do I feel about this? Am I okay with it? And I asked Steve, are you okay with it? And we really both came to the conclusion, we're fine. It's just that at this particular point in time, we've had the Iraq War. We had the terrible tragedy with the Columbia. The SARS scare that has so many people deeply concerned, Phil.
I understand.
That the idea of God being black in this film could scare some people.
It's just a very tenuous time right now.
All right. It's an unusual...
I just want to warn people that they did not put any Caucasian makeup on him. He retains his black face in the film throughout.
All right. The idea of a black god is, for white people, unusual.
Well, I think for everyone, Phil. We need normalcy. We don't need right now... I think a lot of people need normalcy. I don't think right now they need to be upset, is what I'm trying to say.
All right. Are you aware of a tradition in many... African-American neighborhoods and certainly in many black cultures that the deity is portrayed as black? Are you aware of this?
That's in their neighborhood. I'm talking about in the general white populace.
The majority is white. Majority of people are white. You got to keep them happy.
All right, but okay, so you're saying in black...
That's in black neighborhoods, and I understand they have the black Madonna, etc. I'm saying, and that's for them, and they do what they're going to do. But when you're really getting serious about portraying God as black, I think there are some people
But you say you and your husband are fine with Morgan Freeman playing God in this movie.
We have no problem with it, Phil, but we know that there are a great many people out there.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The film Bruce Almighty has been out for just a few days. It has certainly garnered a great deal of attention. People are going to see it. I understand it's great. Like I said, we got shut out the other night. We went to take the kids on Friday, Saturday night. The film portrays Jim Carrey as a regular earthling, I guess, who becomes God, and Morgan Freeman plays God. Morgan Freeman is the great actor. He is a man of great accomplishment as an actor, and he plays God. He's an African-American. You're saying...
And Phil, if I could interrupt...
Go ahead.
These movie people can make God black, or they can make him Chinese, or they can make him Canadian. I don't care what they make him. But not right now, not with all that's going on.
That's our only point, Mr. Henry. That right now is going on, the Iraq War and all of that, and now you're going to make God black. It makes people nervous.
I think it makes a lot of people nervous. And the film, as you know, Phil, has made a great deal of money for Mr. Carey. I'm sure he's doing fine. I'm sure it's made a great deal of money for Mr. Freeman. I'm sure he's doing fine. And I'm sure it's made a lot of money for the studio that produced it. What I'm saying is, it's possible that it's too unusual, especially for young children, to watch something like this.
All right, I got to tell you, I'm fine with it.
And I'm fine with it.
I got to tell you, God being black, I mean, the only thing about having Morgan Freeman being an African-American, being black, being God, is that knowing Hollywood the way I do, it probably...
most Americans can't handle it.
But what I want to say is, knowing Hollywood the way I do, it probably smacks of pandering more than anything else. Like, okay, let's throw a black character in as God so that the African-American audience will be ameliorated. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I know what you said. Can you?
I'm just saying that it doesn't. It's not offensive to me at all. I think if it were to be offensive, it would be that it's kind of a pandering move by a Hollywood studio to bring a black character into the character of God. See what I'm saying?
Well, that's fine. I don't really know what you mean by that. What I'm saying is, we've had SARS, we've had the Columbia, we've had the war. We have small children who are frightened of being molested. What we don't need right now are people being upset.
But if you're not upset, and your husband's not upset, and your kids are not upset...
Well, we had to talk to them.
What did you have to talk to your kids about?
Well, my son, Seth, came home, and he said, God, Mom, that's really weird, or something like that. And I said, what? And he said, well, they had God being black. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that, honey. You're not black, and most of your friends are not black, so don't worry about that. And he said, that's kind of weird. Am I supposed to pray to a black man? And I said, he's God. And no matter what color he is, and I said, I'm sure he's probably white or whatever.
You think God's white?
I don't know, Phil. I said this to help my son. I said, God will answer your prayers.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Morgan Freeman plays the part of God in the film Bruce Almighty. He's a black actor that at least the Homeowners Association of Western States thinks some people should be alerted to. Here is Kate on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Kate.
Hi, Phil. Thank you.
Yes.
I just think that this woman she's maintaining that she wants to head off trouble and warn people.
Mm-hmm.
However, I find that her comments are simply going to... not only offend the African-American community, but many in as she calls it, the general majority of the public as well.
Mm-hmm.
Her comments are going to automatically get the ire up in people. I mean, if she's so concerned about this movie offending people, why doesn't she just wait and see if it does offend people and then deal with the problems that arise? But this is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ms. Dooley?
Well, I think Lady makes a good point, but... My husband Steve and I are fine with this film. I really want everyone to know, I don't care if God is black or white. I think parents, that's the most important thing, and I would ask the caller, are you a mother?
No, I am not.
All right. I think parents need to tell their kids, if the children are scared, tell them that God is really white, that it's only a movie, that it...
Well, why would the child be afraid? My point would be, a child would be afraid if the parents have told them that God is white. You see what I'm saying? I mean,
Well, Phil, I think I don't think it's any secret if you've been to the Passion Play, if you've seen the Bible with a very attractive Victor Mature, that Jesus was white. And the children know that. And to all of a sudden throw this boogeyman...
What do you mean boogeyman? What do you mean boogeyman?
How about
well,
God is love?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What about God is love?
I totally agree.
Well, obviously, I think that you're mm-hmm. losing it a little bit. I mean, I don't understand mm-hmm. why you're saying that it's going to frighten children.
We don't want to scare the little tiny children.
We just don't want to scare the children, that's all.
Do you understand that what that comment is going to do mm-hmm. to the general public and to the African-American community?
What is that? What did I say? I'm saying to the African-American...
I think it's a totally offensive statement, ma'am. I really have to tell you
what
that...
What did I say?
You said boogeyman.
That is a
boogeyman.
That is a racially offensive term from the Deep South regarding to a black man that's going to steal the children.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we don't want the children to think that. And
well, then why did you even bring the word up is what the lady's asking.
How on earth would an audience believe that a man can go from being a chauffeur on Driving Miss Daisy... Oh, and
called an actor, ma'am.
Now he's God?
That's called an actor. Excellent actors portray or
right.
able to portray
right.
any type of character.
Morgan Freeman has played prison inmates. He's played the Surgeon General of the United States.
He's a phenomenal actor. He has the capacity to make us believe these things. That's an excellent actor.
I loved him in Driving Miss Daisy. I thought he was just remarkable in that. And
yes, of course, he was the servant. It's so easy to believe.
You know, I find you very offensive. I really do. I'm trying to say...
Well, then we're on equal playing ground because you're offensive as well, ma'am.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying that I appreciate the film. I understand it. Do you?
Ma'am,
I do understand.
Excuse me?
Well, you haven't seen the film. I've seen it.
I beg your pardon? How do you know that I haven't seen the film? Are you assuming that?
I can tell you haven't.
There's
a little bit of stupidity in the sentence formation.
Well, all right, we don't need to be calling people names again.
Yeah.
We don't need to be calling people names. Thank you very much, Kate, for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Morgan Freeman plays the part of God in the film Bruce Almighty. At least one parent-teacher organization in California is alerting parents, telling them that there's nothing wrong with a black man playing God, but it might offend some people and it might scare some children. I didn't see the movie. We got shut out on Saturday night, but I can tell you right now that it doesn't bother me. I will restate what I said earlier, that it may be a little bit of pandering on the part of the studio.
Phil, you already said that, and that's good for you. I know you think you're making a unique point, but I don't think you are. And the redundance of that, I think, is a little offensive.
All right. Well, then I think I have the right to make the point, though.
Good for you, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry?
Good for you. It's pandering.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I know we had Bobby and Steve Dooley on yesterday. We were talking about the graduations, but this press release of yours just came out. You were asking that Universal Pictures, in the film, we're talking about Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman plays the part of God. You are asking that Universal Pictures lighten Morgan Freeman's complexion.
Phil, all we're saying is...
No, you're overreacting, Mr. Henry.
Phil, I'll do it. All we're saying is that for 30 days, while the public gets used to the idea of a black or African-American, if you will, or African God, that Universal lighten the complexion of Mr. Freeman, who I understand is a wonderful actor.
Well, he's an accomplished actor. He's one of the senior representatives of the acting profession, for whatever that's worth in this country. And to lighten his skin is to say you're not actor enough to pull off the job of God. That's the other thing you're saying.
No, I'm saying he's very good at it. I'm saying he's so good at it that some
people will believe God's actually black.
It could scare some people, Phil.
Yeah, members of the Klan, the white Aryan resistance, Aryan nations. Yeah, there'd be some people that it would scare. It would probably make a lot of other people happy. You know,
Phil, I'm not talking about, you know, it's really horrible of you to equate. In other words, if I think God's white, I'm a racist.
I think if you think of God in any terms other than being some kind of universal law, I think you're thinking...
Well, that's Buddhism. That doesn't count.
I'm sorry?
That's Buddhism. That doesn't count.
That's Buddhism. That doesn't count.
Well, Phil, we're talking about religion, not...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sharon, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
You know, I've been listening to you, and I really think, first of all, as a black woman with a wonderful black son, I do let him know that he was created in God's image, and he's a black boy. And for many years, the black community have been raised to believe God is black, is white. You cannot tell your son there is such a possibility. You get scared. You think the community is going to be scared.
What about a disclaimer?
Why should there be a disclaimer?
Well, just something
why
that
should
says,
there be, why?
It's possible
because we
is
have
white.
To make sure that the white people accept it.
Well, what do you mean a disclaimer, Ms. Dooley?
Something that says... it's possible God is white. At the beginning of the film, don't let the black God throw you or something.
Don't let the black God throw...
That is... Your kids...
You
your
know,
kids
Henry,
are going to have problems.
You know, you're really... To laugh at me, Phil, I really care about our community.
No, you don't.
I don't.
No. You care about you.
Are you...
You care about you and your family's perception of things and maybe your colleagues.
You
but
talk, you talk
this
funny.
Is the
are
year 2003.
America?
This is 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Anything is possible. And I will teach my child. He was created in God's image. He's just equally as good, capable of being
of
president
course.
Of the United States.
Of course he is. And I totally
you know?
Accept that. But what
and
I'm
your
saying
tone,
is, when we say that people are made in God's image... What we're saying is basically the lungs, you know, the internal organs.
No, honey. No. Everything about me is in God's image. I am.
You talk funny. Are you from America?
No, I'm from Canada.
Well, how come your kid wants to be president of the United States?
Well, you know,
it's
I'm
a
just
figure
giving
of
you
speech.
An example.
It's a figure of speech.
It's a figure of speech.
Well, maybe
you know,
Prime
but
Minister
for you to
Canada.
Tell your child about boogeyman or boogeyman,
yeah, that's...
let me tell you, that is so primitive.
Well, I
that
listen.
Is so primitive. And for you to tell him, oh, he's probably white, your child will have difficulties.
Okay.
As he grows in life
here
and
is.
Meet upon strong,
all right.
intelligent black people,
I agree
black
with you.
Men,
I
that
agree.
He will not have a concept of.
But let me bring up this example, and I think this will help clarify, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
How would Sharon like it if they did a film about Martin Luther King and he was played by Tom Cruise? She wouldn't like it.
But Martin Luther King is a black man.
He's a man. He's a human being that we all
but
saw.
But it doesn't matter what
see?
We saw.
You
in
see
the,
what I'm saying?
The, no,
Cruise,
that is not the same
that wouldn't
thing.
Work. It wouldn't work.
That, no, but you're portraying no. an individual that we have seen.
We've seen
have
and we know.
Have you seen
yeah.
God?
Have I seen God?
Yeah.
I saw God. Well, can I be honest, Phil?
Yeah.
Steve and I were out in the backyard, and we'd had a little bit to drink. And I can tell you, the way he was...
All right, I don't want to know about your sex life.
Well, the lady asked...
I don't want to know about it. All right, thank you, Sharon. 1-800-449-8686. Have you seen God?
Well, you asked me if I'd had my legs...
I don't want to know about that. They think Morgan Freeman playing God in Bruce Almighty may be offensive. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Dooley, say that again.
I said Jim Carrey just wants to get the black community.
So I don't think, if I could say, Steve.
Go ahead.
I really think a lot of this, Morgan Freeman playing God in Bruce Almighty. I think it's Jim Carrey so sorry that he ever did The Majestic and these other films that were just terrible. And he's trying now to get as many people into the seats as possible. So he says to his good friend, Mr. Freeman, look, I want you to play God because that will get all of the blacks. You see?
Well, I don't doubt that there's some pandering going on, but the point is, I think there's a higher beauty, if you will, to the point, and that is that God can be a black man or a white man, or he's not a man or a woman at all, and it's not even a person. It's a law.
Again, that's Buddhism, and that doesn't count.
Well, I don't know why it doesn't count, but the point is, your memo saying that people should be forewarned that God is black in the movie Bruce Almighty because children may be scared, as the lady said last half hour, maybe stirring up racism, not preventing it.
Well, I'm very offended by that, Phil, because I'm not racist. I'm just saying, for the people out there that is.
All right, here is Leo on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Leo. Okay, Leo has got his phone turned up, so why don't you get on the phone with him and tell him to turn it down. Here is Maria. Go ahead, Maria. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Maria?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering, I understand mm-hmm. that she's, like, very conscientious of this and all that.
Thank you.
But I think that's more of going to cause a conflict because you're making it more than it is. It's a movie. It's for entertainment purposes, not to be deriving some cult.
Absolutely, and I think you make a very good point. We just don't want the children to be frightened, that's all.
The children are not going to get frightened. Let me ask you a question. When your child falls down and he all of a sudden looks at you to see your reaction to it, if you freak out, then that child is going to start screaming his head off because he thinks it's worse than it is.
And I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, don't worry, honey. You're just fine.
Look.
Then that little boy will get up or that little girl will get up and dust herself off
and
keep on playing. It's the same thing.
Could you sign this?
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
Okay,
what are you guys doing?
I'm signing some papers for the Homeowners Association.
Well, it's like this.
Go ahead.
Your child falls.
Mm-hmm.
And you, all of a sudden, he looks at you for a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
If you start freaking out, then
mm-hmm.
that boy's going to scream even louder.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell him, oh, no, honey, it's just a it's just a boo-boo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, then guess what? Your child is not going to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with this movie. It's a movie,
mm-hmm.
honey. It's
mm-hmm.
for entertainment purposes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as for you thinking that God's not black,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very much a Catholic, ma'am, and
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I haven't met a single priest or anybody that can confirm to me its ethnicity. If you look at the region where God's from, there are no Anglos over there.
Mm-hmm,
if anything, the Egyptians are more Arab-looking than anything else.
I don't know what you mean where God's from. What do you mean?
Well,
where
do you
Jesus
think
is from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you referring to God as in God or Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the actual person? Which one are you worried that the kids are going to get confused?
Right. Well, it's been really fun talking to you.
Really?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let me tell you something. It's very disconcerting that people like you act at a radio station.
Is she done?
No, I'm not.
The lady's talking.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
The lady is talking from on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So let me ask you that. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
haven't answered my question. How
mm-hmm.
did you see God?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you.
Really? How come you're dismissing me like that?
All right. Here is Sharon on the Phil Henry Show. Sharon, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was just wondering, I do need to check. What year is this? We are in 2003, correct?
I'm sorry?
We are in 2003, correct?
Do you have a calendar handy? I don't know what you mean.
Okay.
I mean, because you're speaking as if you're back in the 1950s or earlier.
No, I'm not. I just want everyone to be... Are you all right with it, Sharon?
I'm perfectly fine.
You're all right with God being black?
I'm all right with God being God.
No.
Nobody
are you
knows.
All right? Are you all right with him being black? That's all I want to know.
Let me ask you a question.
She's not. I can tell.
No, I didn't say that.
No, you're not. You're not. I can tell.
No.
And that's what I'm trying to say.
Ma'am.
What if they had Jason from Friday the 13th playing God? Is that all right? It's the same thing. It's right.
Can I ask you a question?
Morgan Freeman is not the same thing as Jason from Friday the 13th. And the lady's trying to ask you a question.
I'm sorry.
Is God human?
It's got human?
It's got a human being. Does he breathe? Does he have a heartbeat? Does he live and die like I do?
You know, I'm sure that he does in some way. I'm just saying.
If
it's fine with me if
he's
black.
Had a pulse and had a skin,
I'm fine with him
he
being
could have
black.
Any skin color he would want. He's not human.
God is
a deity.
I'm fine with him being Mexican. You see, but,
if you're
but what I'm trying to do is make you feel better about it, because I can tell you're a little uncomfortable.
Say that she was uncomfortable. You're okay with God being black, right, Sharon?
I'm okay with God being any color he decides to be on any day of the week.
But are you okay with him being black?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah. No, I've only seen clips of it.
Okay. In the movie, he's black.
We got it.
I understand that.
We got that he's black in the movie. We understand that he's black in the movie.
Well, what I'm trying to say, Phil, is that there is a great difference between my understanding of what's going on and the caller's understanding.
All right. Thank you very much. Lisa, go ahead. Lisa, go ahead.
Yes. I don't think they need to worry about anybody else or anybody else's perception, first of all. I mean, I'm a mother. I don't know anybody's kids that are going to be afraid unless they come from horribly racist parents. I mean, you're assuming that people are afraid. First, you do a huge disservice to the general
public. So you're
all
right with it.
We are stupid enough
to be
afraid of Morgan Freeman playing God.
Second of all, when
they said God is law, it has nothing to do with Buddhism. He's saying he's an entity. He is no race. He is not a human as we see it. And to tell your children
how do you know? How do you know?
How do I know what?
That God's not a human. See,
are you
Christian?
You're
so great.
Let's be straight. Buddha doesn't count.
You think according to you, so I'm assuming
that you're Christian.
The only reason the movie's doing well is out of curiosity to see what a black God looks like. That's it.
Okay. Are you on any antipsychotic medication?
Are you trying to tell me that the people are seeing Bruce Almighty because it's scary?
I think it frightens them to see a black God.
This woman is scary. If anybody's scary, it is this
woman. Well, you can't. You're
She's
sitting there telling me
that exemplifies what is wrong with this country and regulations right now.
You're telling me right now that God's Buddhist or some ridiculous thing.
Did I say that? I asked you what religion you were, and I'm saying God's an entity is not a Buddhist statement.
See, you think you're God. You have that kind of sound to your voice.
No, I'm educated, and I know what I'm talking about.
Then why are people running out of
God?
Then why are people running out of the theater screaming?
What are you talking about?
Out of Bruce Almighty?
My understanding is, especially in Toronto and other cities like that,
like Toronto. What's special about Toronto?
Because they're mostly white.
I've been to Toronto. No, they're not.
And they're mostly white.
No, they're not.
I've been to Toronto multiple times.
You're completely wrong.
Toronto is mostly white people.
Okay, when was the last time
Why are you whispering?
Because
I was there 9 months ago. I did not see mostly white people at Toronto.
Well, then maybe you should go where the white people are. You like hanging out with blacks, and that's why you've got this whole thing for them.
Okay, you're completely insane.
Oh, my God.
You haven't been able to argue my point. Which point would that be?
First of all, you go into cities and seek out the black neighborhood because you like their company. Secondly,
and you know this about me, how?
Because you just said you went to Toronto and all you saw were black people.
No, I
saw. Oh my God!
White people. There were lots of. I didn't say black.
I said not white.
Not white means Hispanic. It means Asian.
Listen. Do you know what it would be like to all of a sudden be talking to your mother and she takes off her white mask and she's black?
I don't think God is white, so I don't know where you think God is white.
Of course you don't.
Where do you get that idea?
Well, of course you don't.
I'm Catholic.
You have the black boyfriend.
White, Midwestern Catholic family,
right.
And I know God's not white.
Of course you do, because you've got the black boyfriend. You seek out the black
neighborhood. My boyfriend, my fiancé, is Irish.
You know, you're starting to...
No, she's typical of a lot of self-hating whites. You love to go down to the chicken shack, you know.
Oh, because only African Americans enjoy chicken?
The kind of places you go to, yes.
All right.
Okay, she's insane. I mean, there's no even point in talking to this woman. She's not making any sense. She's not concerned
about anybody. Not making any sense to anyone
she's
who's not concerned for children.
She's not well.
I care about children.
Ma'am, you're coming off like a mint racist. You say you're not, but you're coming off like one. God's black. This lady hangs out at the chicken shack. She's got the black boyfriend. She doesn't. She's a self-hating white. You know, it might scare people. What if it didn't scare people? And what do you mean people are running out of the theater screaming? I never heard anything about that.
That was my understanding.
From who? From where? From what news source?
A friend of mine said.
A friend of yours said.
What, the one in the Klan?
Was your friend...
Oh, listen to you. You're still on the line? I thought you hung up and ran off to your NAACP meeting. Hello?
All right, thank you.
People were throwing up.
Nobody's throwing up. And I'll tell you something else. The idea that God is black or God is white is probably a stupid argument as proffered by so many people, because God is probably neither and probably isn't anthropomorphic at all and probably exists more as a concept, idea, or a set of metaphysical laws.
Again, that's
Buddhism and it doesn't count, I know. Leo, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, I wish I could talk to this lady.
I got a bongo drums too.
Can I speak to her?
Go ahead, Bobby.
Yes. This is Bobby Dooley. Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Yes. Hello. Who's there?
I don't know why this lady should be such a racist.
And where are you from?
I'm from Nigeria. And we're not brought up in Inca Belt.
All right, you got to watch your language, Leo, or we're going to hang up on you.
No four-letter words, okay, please? Okay.
All right, thank you.
What I'm saying is that the woman should not teach the children about a boogeyman or no boogeyman.
Absolutely.
God is loving, he doesn't need to be white or black. We don't even know if God is a woman or a man.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. So just try to teach your children love.
Who's that?
But no separation.
Who am I speaking
with? I'm from Toronto. Toronto is a mix of
cities. This is the United States.
It's not only white, not only black.
This
I don't
is the
think
United
we've ever been to Toronto.
This is the United
Thank
States
you so much.
Calling. Is there anyone there?
Yes, Leo was there.
Leo?
I'm calling from Toronto now.
Yes,
I'm driving. I'm in Toronto right now driving. I'm in university.
Is the caller
university
there?
I'm done that now.
Yes.
Toronto is one of the most advanced society.
Where are you calling from?
I'm going to sit down there and say that Toronto is only white.
Yes.
How ignorant you are. And it's not fair.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto.
Okay. You're where? I'm sorry.
So you're not
All right. We'll
Toronto.
Put you on the air in just a moment with Mr. Henry. Can you hold on?
Okay.
All right. We'll accept your collect call, right?
This is not collect call.
Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
This is not a collect call.
All right, this is the United States. This is the United States.
Try to teach your children.
Go ahead.
Don't teach them separation.
Mm-hmm.
The segregation is
All right, your Trump
life.
Call is put through, sir.
Okay.
Mayday, mayday. The plans...
Get out of here! Mayday. Well, I want to go and see Bruce Almighty if I can get in a movie theater. That's my only problem. I can't see it because the joint's it's sold out. Is God black? I hope so. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
We're concluding with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Homeowners Association, Western Estates. You guys are talking about God being a black character in the movie Bruce Almighty, played by Morgan Freeman. I would like to ask you, Ms. Dooley, what you think... excuse me. What do you think God looks like?
You know what, Phil? I think God is a big, warm, very loving man.
You think he's a man?
If I could be allowed to finish.
Go ahead.
because you take everything that I'm saying and you make it...
All right, I apologize. I apologize. You're right. What do you think God looks like?
I think God is a big, warm, loving person with a warm smile, beautiful long hair. I really do. And I think he has love in his heart for every single one of us.
Is he white?
You know what? Yes, he is, but it doesn't matter. He's not bigoted. He doesn't care what color anybody is. He loves everyone.
So God is white?
You know what, Phil? What difference does it make?
All right, well, what difference does it make? Why is he white to you?
Because it doesn't matter what color he is.
Then why isn't he black?
Because it doesn't matter. He's a white man, but it doesn't matter.
So he's a white man who's a totally benevolent, loving...
Yes, he's everyone's father.
He's a white guy who's the father of all the black people.
You know, Phil, I know what you're doing. You're trying to make me sound stupid. You know,
Ms. Dooley, I think you're doing a fine job all to yourself. Now,
And I find that very offensive.
I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ted. Go ahead, Ted.
Hey, ma'am. I thought what your statement was very interesting. I believe you should be more upset at God playing a person portrayed as a human being due to the fact that the three only monotheistic religions in the world, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, all state in their scriptures God is love and God is spirit.
But Wicca is also monotheism.
Wicca is also monotheism. That Jesus the Christ was a man. If God created man in his own image, two-thirds of the world happens to be
of color. Are you familiar with Wicca?
Hey, Ted, we don't give speeches here, okay?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, go ahead. What were you going to say, ma'am?
Are you familiar with Wicca, Ted?
Familiar with Wicca, very vaguely.
That's monotheistic, too. They believe in the mother-father computer. So that is the one, God.
No, Wicca is very polytheistic.
No, they believe in the one unified
Ma'am, it is very
father.
Polytheistic.
No,
I have a high degree of religion. Wicca is polytheistic and partially pantheistic.
I was a witch for 3 years, so I think
okay.
I know.
Okay.
I think I know. Okay, and believe me, if you want to get on my bad side, don't do it.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're going to laugh about it? How would you like to be homosexual?
I don't believe that would be possible.
I can make you have desire for other men. Now,
I don't believe that would be possible.
There is a blessing that we say every night before dinner.
So we have the woman with the white
God
man. God
is great. God is good.
Homosexual spells on people.
Yes, God is great. God is good. God is white. So let's eat.
Lady, you need help.
Oh,
that's all you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will cast a homosexual spell on you, and then you'll believe.
Now, is that very godlike to be casting the homosexual spells on people that are heterosexual?
According to the mother-father computer, yes. Go ahead and laugh, funny boy.
Lady,
you need
deep,
1-800,
you need deep cleaning. Help.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Listen to this, Wicca, you have a small...
Okay.
Thank you.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Later on, we're going to be dealing with Bruce Almighty, the movie. The fact that Morgan Freeman plays the character of God has at least one parent-teacher organization upset, and we'll talk with that lady. She was actually on our program yesterday, Bobby Dooley, but she is back and has issued memorandum regarding the possibility that some people will be frightened of a black character playing God. And we're also going to be talking about Hillary Duff getting snuffed. I just don't mean it. Literally, ABC's kicked her ass off of that Lizzie McGuire franchise, the gay dating game, and another ambulance-chasing interview with Gloria Allred. But I wanted to mention just in passing, and I'll probably do like an hour on this, hour and a half. Not that I was expecting to do it, but today is the anniversary of my 30th year in broadcasting, and I wouldn't even have brought it up were it not for the fact that my coworkers came dancing into my office today with a bottle of tequila, which was a bottle of Don Alejo, and anybody that knows me knows that I drink Don Julio, so what were they thinking? We don't know. But then they had Chris go out and get it, so. Good job, though, Chris. But I tell you what, every time I say go to Starbucks, he knows where that is. It's cool, man. It's good. It's blue. It's 100% agave. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing wrong with it at all. I'm not a tequila snob. It's just I know what I like, and I don't want to waste my money on anything else. But as long as you guys bought it, what do I care, right? So they said, happy 30 years in the business. And I said, it ain't been such a happy 30. And then I said, I'm just kidding, because their little faces were downcast. They said, no, thank you very much. You know, but I did what I do. I mean, I did what anybody would do. And if somebody says you've been in the business for 30, and I've been in every aspect of this business, except for a few. The part where you're on your knees in your boss's office, I've never really gone down that road too much. The part where you slip on the knee pads when you go into your boss's office, fortunately for me, I've done some things for money. I've done some low things, but never got quite on the knees with the knee pads. Not yet. Not yet. But I've been all around, up and down, and I know one thing. Each time wait a minute, I'm going to start quoting a song. But I did begin thinking back on the very first gig that I had in radio, and it was at a radio station, believe it or not, called WBJW. Now, if anything could get you prepared for what a life in radio is going to be about, working at a station called WBJW is the place. Because nothing gets done in this business without a little bit of that. And I was at 1440 on the AM dial, and don't let anybody kid you, it's a tough place to bust in. I mean, working at 1440 is what we call the ghetto end of the dial. I don't mean any disrespect to radio stations that exist there and are trying to make a living there, but it's tough. It's, you know, the frequency gets squeezed together. And I walked in there, I was 20 years of age, and I sat down, and they had a playlist, and they had these flip cards that you had to play the songs. And I played the song Delta Dawn by Helen Reddy. And then I played it again an hour later, and I played it again an hour later. Within 3 days, I hated that song. I dug being a disc jockey for what it was worth. I thought I could pick my own music, and I was, you know, soon to find out that you didn't. You had to play what they told you to play. And one of the songs that they made me play was the song Delta Dawn. And I don't know why, but that song has stuck with me as everything that I hate about music radio. Ever since. And for the last 13 years, that's why I've been in non-musical radio. I've been in what's called talk radio. But the reason why I don't like this song, it's very jarring. And it never went with anything. We had to play jingles. And for those of you who don't know what a jingle is, because I imagine there's a few of you, a jingle is like a musical intro to the record with the station call letters sung. Like ours, you know, like WBJW would be WBJW. And then they go into the song, right? And it would sound like this, WBJW.
All alone tonight, I'm calling out.
And I'm in the can taking a leak. Or the song that I hated the most, WBJW.
Delta Dawn.
Is there anything worse than the way that song starts? The most jarring, frightening.
Delta Dawn.
Ooh, God, I hated it. And every hour.
Delta Dawn.
You're listening to WBJW Winter Park, Florida, the entertainer.
Delta Dawn.
Central Florida weather, partly cloudy. See, because I was in radio, I thought I had to do the voice. Central Florida weather, partly cloudy through tomorrow. Right now, 73 degrees, WBJW.
Delta Dawn.
I mean, it just never ended. Never ended.
I hear you say.
Jesus, I hated it. I got out of that, and, you know, then off I went, man. And for about 18 years, I was a disc jockey. And it wasn't, I'm not going to put down Helen Reddy, but it was all the other crap I had to play. Led Zeppelin, crap. Creedence Clearwater, crap. All the other music I've blacked out. Even Jimi Hendrix, crap. The Beatles, crap. The Stones, crap. And one of the songs that was a hit when I busted into radio was a song called Angie by the Rolling Stones. 4.5 minutes of the most boring song that the Stones ever did. Angie, when will them... Look, if I want to hear country music, I'm going to hear it from some guy that just got done slopping the hogs up in Bakersfield. I don't want to hear some limey singing it. If you don't mind. Jesus, how presumptuous. Look, the Rolling Stones are good for what they do. They play rock and roll very well. But when I hear them doing some, like, you know, One Monkey Don't Stop the Show, I'd rather hear John Lee Hooker do it than the Rolling Freaking Stones. I don't need some Brits singing the blues. Man, I got enough cats over here that can sing that stuff real good. Just play that rock and roll that you do. Like, you know, what's that cool tune, Tumbling Dice? Do that. I dig that song. But when they start and that country stuff, look, I hate country to begin with. And listening to them do it? I would rather gouge my eardrums out of my skull with 9 inches of sharp steel. Angie! Oh! And for 18 years, that's all it ever was. And then I got into talk music, or talk radio, and I decided to start my show off with
Delta Dog.
Just for kicks. I think that's now going to be the theme song of the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, 30 years, man. Well, thanks for the bottle of tequila, you guys. I don't have any really interesting... I mean, I got a lot of great interesting stories having to do with perversions, but you don't want to hear those, do you? You don't want to hear about the time one of the guys that worked at the radio station I was at had a 15-year-old girl in the studio, do you? You do? You don't want to hear that? You don't want to hear about the time how the wife of the program director that I was working for was actually having sex with my best friend behind this guy's back? You don't want to hear that, do you? Or about every single solitary radio station that I ever worked at, I wound up going out with one woman in the front office somewhere, somehow, somebody that I worked with, because I'm no good picking women up in a bar. I'm lousy at just, hi, miss, can I buy you a drink? I'm horrible at that. You know, I just, if I can work with a woman over the period of time, then the dorkiness sort of wears off on her, and she realizes that maybe I got a little personality. Because the first impression I give women is notoriously terrible. So 90% of the time, the women I started going out with were women that I met at the radio station because you saw them every day. And after a while, I'd think, well, you know, he's not such a bad guy. He's kind of charming. You know, he isn't such an idiot. So every radio station I was working at, it was the receptionist or it was one of the saleswomen or it was the general manager. I'm kidding. Well, one time I had sex with a man, but...
Delta Dawn.
In fact, I agreed to have sex with a man if he'd stop playing that song. And then I got fired. I worked in upstate New York for a while. Utica, New York. I got canned from that gig. This is the first gig I ever got canned from, and I couldn't have been more grateful. We all got fired in July, but the guy gave us till August to clear out, which is kind of cool. But I'm working in Utica. Have you ever been to Utica, New York? There's nothing that can describe it. There's really no way to describe it. It's a little city, and everybody lives in houses that are all close together, and their idea of a good time is a doughboy swimming pool. I mean, I'm not putting that down. Please don't understand. There's a thing about decks back east that I don't get. Decks. You got to have a deck. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you want to come over for the deck? We're having a deck warming. How you spelling deck? And, yeah, no, I don't want to come over for your deck warming. What are you talking about? Oh, really? Come on, we have a barbecue? The only way that I could possibly describe Utica, and you know, they'd have everybody over there for the barbecue, and everybody's drinking Utica Club beer. But again, that was like in the first couple of years of my gig, man. And the only real way for me to describe upstate New York would be probably, well, probably like this. Another song that I played to death. Another song that made me want to blind myself.
He was on his way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone and he thought...
Okay, so now you're hearing two. You heard Delta Dawn and this one. Both songs made me want to blind myself with a gardening tool. You ever heard this song, Mark? See, half the cats that work for me, man, weren't even alive when this crap came out. This is Vicki Lawrence. She made her name as a star in the Carol Burnett Show, and she had a show called Mama, and everybody thought it was funny, and it wasn't. It wasn't even close to being funny. And then she had a recording career, and this is a song about a guy who screws his best friend. He has sex with a farm animal, is all I know, and then his sister kills the farm animal so he won't get... Isn't that it? Something about how his sister protects him because the husband's coming to shoot him because he had sex with the husband's wife. And so a shot rings out and the husband dies and the brother goes to prison for it? Well, guess who really did it? The little sister, played by Vicki Lawrence, because she's singing the song about what she did. And it's a song called That's the Night the Lights Went Out in Utica. I went down to Pappy's house near the Utica Club Brewery. And then I went to a Mohawk Valley hockey game.
He was on his way home from Candletop.
They made a movie out of this. This is how desperate Hollywood is. This is how desperate television is. This is how pathetic that entire industry can be. I mean, every 5 years they come out with a movie that's good. But in between, you've got these pathetic, bleach-toothed executives looking for the next big thing. They made a movie out of a 3-minute song! I had sex with Bobby June in Utica.
Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy sail.
And all that white trash with the Marlboro cigarettes and all them cut-off jeans at the bar. She ought to brush her teeth if she hopes to get a husband to replace Clem. And her hair got caught in a ceiling fan. Anyway, that's the first 15, 16, 17 years of my career. But really, my talk radio career hasn't been much better. Every day, coming on the job, sometimes it feels just like a Lobo tune. Play this crap too. This guy. What is this guy? What is this guy? Is he like a midget or something? There's something about this cat, this one name. This guy's name is Lobo. You know what that's Spanish for? Ass. It is. This guy, Lobo, is 5'1".
Oh, how
and he doesn't have any arms or legs. He just prop him up at the mic. I think it's a great story. He's a torso. That's what Lobo means in Spanish, torso. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Lobo. Yeah! This cat's great, man. He's only a torso. But God! How's he playing the guitar? It's his teeth, his ears, whatever. Whatever he's got available. He just sings out of a neck hole. Isn't it great? It's great.
And the morning.
Fantastic, man. And you talk about women. Man, this guy's got them all over the place. All right. 1-800-449-8686, although I haven't an idea what you'd call about. It's Phil Henry's show. Today, the 30th year I've been in this business. And coming up, another visit from Bobby and Steve Dooley about the shocking revelation that the character of God in the movie Bruce Almighty is played by a black actor. Kids may be afraid. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
No sooner do I talk about my 30th year in the business, and David G. Hall, who is the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show, is on. Thank you very much, David. I know you wanted to come on here and congratulate me.
I did, Phil, and I wanted to say congratulations on a career that has spanned 3 decades and all different generations of radio. I'd also like to congratulate you on being one of the real innovators in our business in what you do. And I hope you'll appreciate what I'm about to say, because I thought about this, And I knew that today was going to be your 30th anniversary. And while you may not necessarily appreciate this timing, I think your audience will. And I think it's just very interesting how I've decided to time this. And I want to say to you to this, Phil, if this hurts what I'm about to say, understand there's a certain beauty to the way I'm timing this. This is your 30th year in the business. Isn't that correct?
This is the anniversary of my 30th year in the business, yes.
All right. That's why I have to tell you, you're fired.
That's very funny.
Well, you may think it's funny, but you're fired.
Okay, that's really funny. 30th year in the business, he's fired. Very good.
Okay, ask Janice. Is she there?
Yeah, she's right here.
Janice?
Are you kidding me?
No, he told us just before the show, we were told not to say anything until he phoned.
Okay, now do you believe me? Since you got to get corroboration for everything because you think I'm a lying piece of garbage, now do you believe me?
What are you firing me for?
There's a lot of reasons why I'm firing you. Number one, your show stinks. Number two, you caused me nothing but trouble. Number three, your show stinks. And number four, all I ever do is get trouble from you. And number five...
My show stinks.
Well, then that leaves number six.
Gee, I wonder what that is. All I do is ever give you trouble. All I ever do is give you trouble?
You aren't very nice to Laura in Rome.
Oh, that's number six.
Yeah.
I'm not nice to Laura in Rome.
Look, Phil, I'm not going to sit and argue with you. You're fired. Now, I'm going to give you 3 hours to clear out your office. I know it comes as a shock to you.
Did you have to do it on the air? Did you have to do it in front of every listener that I got? Did you have to do it in front of the whole world in the broadcast business? Couldn't you have fired me off the air?
We got promising up-and-coming talent that's going to finish out your spot.
Did you have to do it on the air is all I'm saying. Couldn't you have waited?
No, the show was beginning to stink, and I thought I might as well...
Oh, okay. So my show stinks so bad that within 30 minutes you said, boy, you better get him out of there now. Couldn't even wait for me to finish out a three-hour shift.
Unfortunately, yes, that's the case.
Stinks that bad?
Yes, it does. Now, Bud Dickman is there, and...
Oh, no.
What?
No, you're not going to have Dickman do it.
Yeah, come on in, Bud.
I'm right here, Mr. Hall.
No. Not Dickman. Tell me anybody. Tell me it's Pelton. Tell me it's Janice. Don't tell me it's Dickman.
Get out of there, because Bud's there.
Get out of here. Me do it.
Get out of here, me do it.
That's right. You're fired.
Good riddance to bad trash.
Good, Bud.
Hey, Mr. Hall. Bud Dickman show, they're gonna be right back.
Delta Dawn, what's that song you have on? Could it be
Mr. Hall, Mr. Henry farted in the chair.
Bastard.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, they're trying to give Paula Zahn a new look. You know who she is? She's on television. She's on CNN at night. And she's the big whiz kid over there. They thought that she was going to be the next big thing. Her and Aaron Brown. Well, they've relegated him to, like, the overnight duty. And Paula, she ain't doing too hot. She used to work at Fox. Then they wooed her. That's the word they use. They wooed her from Fox over to CNN, where she has stunk it out ever since. Now, I'm saying this with the greatest of respect for her as a person, but as a professional, I've never been able to understand Paula Zahn. I don't get it. What I don't get is why anybody hires her. I know why I don't like her. I don't believe anything she says. Not that I think she's a liar. It's just I don't take her seriously. She's just not a news anchor. There's something she does well. And I think we've been able to determine it. It happens to be... I'm kidding. But, you have to find out what someone does well and give them that job. She's not an anchor. She's not a news anchor. She is not a news anchor. Do you understand me? You guys at CNN, as you shovel audience over to Fox, as you pick up boatload after carload after wheelbarrow full of audience and dump it into Fox's front lawn, keep it in mind that Paula Zahn is not a news anchor. She's a field reporter. I don't know what she is. She's not that either. I'm sure she's a serious professional. Forget it, man. Look, Fox has just done it right. Whatever it is they do it right. They know exactly how people watch television. They know exactly how people consume news. They have left CNN in the dust. And the reason why they've left CNN in the dust is the reason why a lot of guys get left in the dust. They begin to take their success for granted. They begin to think that, well, we're just always going to be the franchise around here. There have been many people who have who've attempted to take over our position, but they come and they go, and we're always going to be the king squad around here. Well, guess what? Party's over. And Fox, smug as hell. I mean, smug as hell. Never have I ever wanted to just bury my fist in someone's face like I do that Shepard Smith. Did you see him today? I'm Shepard Smith, and hey, go Yankees. Hey, you know, Andy Pettit, he pitched real good last night. And, oh, ha, 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 ha. Hey, Shep, I got a good job for you. You and Paula together. I'd pay big money for that. Although I doubt if I'd ever see him one of them, but maybe a little gay porn. All right. They just know how to do it. And boy, are they smug over there. They got the smug face. You know what nobody's noticed? Nobody has noticed that Fox hasn't got one black anchor. Not one. Not one. Nobody's noticed that. They've slipped that one by real good. See, they call themselves fair and balanced. They're about as right-wing as it gets. They're about as right-wing goose-step as it gets. Don't even worry yourself about it. Fox is not fair and balanced. They're a right-wing mouthpiece. Right-wing mouthpiece. They got that one show with those two guys that pretend to argue? Yeah, okay. Now, let me tell you something. These cats don't have one black anchor, man. At least CNN had Bernard Shaw. You know that there was a time when Bernard Shaw was about as big in this country as Walter Cronkite was at one time. Everybody believed him. Everybody trusted him. Everybody dug him. Boom, there he was, man. But this Fox, they don't want no black guys there because they're a bunch of bigots. Think people believe that? They ought to hire OJ is who they ought to hire. Hire that OJ Simpson. He needs the bread. He needs the gig. He needs the bling bling. He needs the exposure. He needs to expose himself. Hire him. Not one person of color on that network, and man, nobody cares. Because nobody cares. No one. Look, you could have all white folks all the time, and nobody's going to say anything about it. Until someone, you know, some African-American makes a noise about it. White folks ain't going to say nothing about it. If there is one race of people that need an education, it's the white folks. You know, everybody says, for race relations to get better in America, the races need to educate themselves better. They need, no, they don't. Only white folks need to educate themselves better. The only ones that really got their head shoved all the way up their ass. When it comes to that stuff, they do. You ain't going to get no colored people, if you'll pardon the expression, on Fox. Either colored people or people of color. If you leave it up to the white folks, because they ain't going to stick them on there. They got Bill, and they got Bridget, and they got that other guy, that Shepard Smith, and all of those clowns in the morning that are interchangeable, and those three whiteys that do the morning show with the blonde, and that Steve, what's his name? The weather guy? And the other guy that looks like he's a refugee from a late-night party at Shepard's house. And then they go to their midday show with, you know. Why am I even getting on this? Oh, yeah, Paula's on. Apparently the news was that they had to revamp her show. Because she ain't getting no numbers on that show. And that's not a shock. It's not a shock. And that Aaron Brown guy, where is he now? He's gone. I just have a fascination with certain individuals that are presented to me as must-see, to coin a phrase, people. The people I just gotta see. I have a certain problem with them shoving it up into my kisser all the time. Paula Zahn, America's Morning. I'd look at her. I tried for the longest time to look at her and to believe the things that she was saying. I got no belief in her any more than I got a belief in the freaking tooth fairy. I don't think that woman could sell me anything. I don't think she could sell me a ceiling fan in the middle of the Sahara. Unless, of course, she was nude at the time. I'm sorry, I have to say it. I think the only thing she's good for is porn. All right, having finished up that sex spiel, 1-800-449-8686. I'm Shepard Smith.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Jeff Dotter from our show talking about how to preserve Bob Hope. And it may not necessarily be through cryogenics.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, Phil, I want to call in on behalf of a lot of members of, you know, younger generation like myself and maybe not familiar with Mr. Bob Hope, but I want just a tip of the cap to him on occasion of his 200th birthday coming up.
He's not going to be 200, man. He's going to be 100.
Okay, and I wanted to mention something, Phil, because I've been studying this. I go to UCLA. I take a mechanical physics course over at UCLA, but we're also studying right now cryogenics. And I wonder if they considered freezing Bob Hope, because they can do it. They've got areas they'll keep 7, 8, 9 heads all in one area, and then if they wanted to thaw them out...
Well, hold on for a minute. Cryogenics, as I understand... What do you mean thaw him out? If they think about it, they froze a guy, and then they thaw him out, he's still 100 years old.
Yeah, but there's the outside possibility. That's true, Phil, but I want to point something out. It's the outside possibility to thaw him out, and maybe a human race has bastard immortality by that point. See, that's the thing you got to think about. There are only 4 ways, really, to dispose of a human body, and cryogenics is one of them, Phil, that could. 90 people in America have been frozen. This is from the National Institute of Cryogenics and the Deep Cryogenic Research Institute in Lowell, Massachusetts.
What if I'm frozen for 900 years and they still haven't cured cancer?
Then you'd wake up with cancer.
Yeah, you'd wake up with cancer in a world that you barely recognize.
Let me just go on with what at least half of the new cases have been frozen in the past 3 years. To the handful of companies that charge $28,000 or more to freeze a body, they're optimistically called patients. Think about it. For instance, if you got your head cut off in a guillotine and then they froze you, what if in like 300 years they found a cure?
What do you mean if they found a cure? A cure for what? A cure for getting your head cut off?
No, but I mean if they sewed it back on...
Okay. In 300 years they figured out how to sew a head back on.
Yes!
Are you listening to yourself? What do you mean they're going to freeze me if I get my... First of all, who guillotines people anymore?
They do in France. I know that for a fact. I've seen it on Discovery Channel. So I know that for a fact.
All right, they guillotine my head, and then somebody's supposed to swoop it up with my body, freeze me, and in 300 years when they figure out how to sew a guy's head back on, why would they sew my head back on?
What?
Because they killed me! Because I'm a capital criminal! So they're going to kill a capital criminal and then sew his head back on?
What if what you did's no longer illegal?
Well, what is that, man? What if I murdered somebody? You're telling me that's not illegal anymore? And so, you know what? Since murder's not illegal anymore, we'll sew the head back on.
We'll sew the head, yeah! Hold on for a minute. Alright. So, that's cryogenics. Number 3, the body's placed in a sleeping bag and then in an insulated box made of wood on the outside and fiberglass on the inside. Dry ice is packed in the fabric. The point being that the body can be frozen. Now, the second way to preserve the body, or to deal with the body, I should say, is burial. The third way is cremation, and there is another way of preserving the human body for people who can't afford the $28,000. See, they're going in a lot of different things. I'm sorry, man. I just had Chinese Szechuan chicken. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay! What's the other way to preserve the body?
There's a company, Black East, called Vlasic. And for $150, they'll pickle you. You there?
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
What?
No, you know what, man? I'm sorry. I'm sick of it, okay?
What?
What do you mean, what? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of being taken advantage of. I'm tired of...
What?
I'm tired of having you come on and do your asinine shtick.
Oh, I said...
Yeah, Vlasic, huh? Well, they'll pickle me. That's great.
What?
Oh, shut up, man. You know... Yep.
You get put in a dill, peppercorns, and onion...
All right, I'll see you later, man.
You're not going to hang up on me. Are you?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Peppercorns and onion. Bob Hope pickled. You know, the real Bob Hope, and he's going to be 100 years old. You've been hearing about this for a long time. People have been talking about the 100 years of Bob Hope. The guy must represent different things to different people. There's people who are way younger than me, and he is a... He's a cat that their parents and grandparents talked about. That's all they know. Like, to me, when I was a kid growing up, people would talk about Mae West, but I saw her in like an old movie one time. And you may be into his films. To me, the guy was a constant throughout. I mean, he hosted the Academy Awards on TV for the longest time, and the big deal with him was, the big joke was, he never won an Academy Award. And then the other thing that this guy is famous for that everybody knows is talking to the troops. Now, this may not be good of me to do on the eve of the man's 100th birthday, but if you think about it, how important am I compared to Bob Hope, right? He's a huge giant of a man, and I'm a little tiny itsy-bitsy turd of a talk show host, so no one's going to listen to me, right? Right. So why not say it? Bob Hope, according to the book Embattled Dreams... of California in the war between 1940 and 1945, while he was the big USO entertainer and would go over to Europe during the Second World War and entertain the troops, he had comics, he had dancers, and he did his shtick with his golf club. Apparently, he wasn't one to hang out with the troops at all. Apparently, he only liked to hang out with the generals and the congressmen. He never got close to these guys that he entertained. Now, the reason why I say that is because there were a lot of people who did. One of them, notably, is a famous German actress by the name of Marlene Dietrich, who, was in a lot of old movies. But she, for some reason, had a real affinity for the troops, and she would go behind lines. She put herself at risk many times. She was shot at, bombed, almost run down with a tank. I mean, this is a woman who would go into tents I'm kidding. No, she didn't. But she would... She did. She would literally go into the mess tent and talk to the guys. But Hope, that whole image of that cat being Mr. Troop Entertainer, crap. It's bull crap. Yeah, he entertained the troops. But you talk to the GIs from there, they said, hey, the guy never met me, the guy never shook my hand, he never came around, said squat to me. See, the reason why I'm saying this is, look, a guy should be known for what he's good at, what he was best at. Bob Hope was good at entertaining the troops. Made some funny movies, you know, but let's understand what the reality is here. And I'm not theorizing this. I am telling you this because it is a matter of historical record. It is a matter of historical analysis that Bob Hope was not a particularly friendly guy when it came to the troops. Now let's cut to Vietnam. Now also on the historical record are the statements of many troops in Vietnam who said, I didn't want to go see Bob Hope's show. We were made to. You got to understand, by the late 1960s, what Bob Hope had in common with the troops was next to nothing. He was a man now in his 60s. The troops in Vietnam were listening to Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and the Stones. They didn't know from freaking the June Taylor dancers. You know, they didn't know from any of that stuff. And he's coming over there with Up With People. I mean, come on, you know. These cats are out there getting blasted because it's, you know, they're upwind of the general or whatever. So they're taking a toke and then going into a village. Whatever they're doing, right? I mean, it's definitely very unconventional. You know, and they got their tapes from back in the States that their kid brother sent them. And they're listening to Cream. And they're listening to, Hendrix and the Airplane. And there's Bob Hope up there with Sergeant Barry Sadler in the Ballad of the Green Beret. I mean, these guys must have been a bad acid trip. And a lot of the guys that came back said the same thing. You know, it wasn't a very interesting show. And the reason why we went is we were told we had to. So you don't hear about that. Bob Hope did fine, but he wasn't the great American hero that some people want him to be. Just like Ronald Reagan. God bless Ronald Reagan. I know he's ill. Ronald Reagan didn't serve. I mean, as long as you're talking about guys that are the big time up with America flag wavers, Reagan didn't serve. Well, he was a movie actor. They went, well, so was Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart flew in a freaking Flying Fortress. That guy was in a bomber. So was that guy Clark Gable. Ronald Reagan didn't serve. He didn't do jack. He got into a uniform and walked around army bases talking about morale and stuff. He didn't do anything. Well, they did what they could. All right, they did what they could. Fine, they did what they could. But they didn't do any more than that. Okay, they didn't do any more than that. Don't make it like sound like these guys put themselves out or anything, okay? Bob Hope would fly in, do his act, and fly the hell out. And he wasn't sitting there kissing and signing autographs and loving on the GIs. He was having cocktails with the generals, cocktails with the congressmen, flying off to England and seeing the prime minister or whoever the hell it was. He wasn't down there in the mud with those guys. So when you honor a guy, honor him for what he did. Nothing more, please. And let's not forget that a lot of these guys that like to wave the flag, they wouldn't know which end of a rifle a bullet came out of. So anyway, happy birthday, Bob. What's that, Mr. Hope?
Hi, fellas. This is Bob Hope. Up yours.
All right.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Lori Allred took time out from chasing ambulances to give a little bit of a comment to the press. She says she's asking for more of the girlfriends to step forward to Scott Peterson. And we do have Ms. Allred on the phone today, and we'll be talking with her later on in this hour. We also have other comments to make about Mark Garagos, or Garagos, or Gag. I don't know how the guy pronounces his name. I've never been good with names. What's his name? It's Garagos. How do you pronounce Peterson? Is that... And then there's a guy here by the name of Bob Smith. How do you pronounce S-M-I-T-H? Bob Smith. All right. So I think I've got all the principles. So later on this hour, we have an exclusive interview with Gloria Allred, who is the attorney representing Amber Fry, who was the woman who had sex with Scott Peterson, and is now saying that she never knew that he was involved in any of this, and she'd never do anything terrible like that. And she's shocked, and she's stunned, and she's just all out of breath about the whole thing with a new hairdo. And we're going to talk also this hour, because I think this stuff is important, and if I don't, who's going to? Probably a lot of other people, and rather stupidly. But Amnesty International has said that the United States' war on terror is making the world a worse place. See, Amnesty International is an organization in London that has never done anything. Now, let me underline the word, never done anything. That whole word, to free one human being from captivity, to get anybody a fair trial in a country where there's nothing but a dictatorial judicial system. Amnesty International just sits and they monitor. They monitor what's going on, see? And then they sit back in their easy chairs in London and they tell you who the real horrible countries are that are abusing human rights. And naturally, the United States is at the top of the list every year. Amnesty International is saying that the United States continues to pick and choose which bits of its obligations under international law it will use. We have no obligations under international law. Do you understand? We have no obligation under international law. We have a membership with the United Nations, but we don't have to. We could sit on our ass and do nothing if we wanted to. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to pay for the amount of money that we pay for the United Nations. We didn't have to go into Afghanistan and take the bags off the heads of the women over there, but we did. We didn't have to go into Iraq and free political prisoners from the torture chambers of Saddam Hussein, but we did. Amnesty International didn't do it. They sure as hell didn't do it, man. They haven't done a thing than just kick back with their thumb up their rear end, talking about how we, the U.S. doesn't do this, and the U.S. doesn't do that, and the United States has put detainees into a legal black hole. Everybody's worried about these Guantanamo cats. These cats in orange jumpsuits. Who's worried about these cats? Nobody's worried about, you know, that makes big news, right? That's the big news. I don't hear anybody talking about the police beating up and forcibly throwing out of the country Turkish and African people from France, for instance. I didn't see anything about that. That's what they did. That's what the French cops do on a regular basis. They beat with impunity and with glee and joy. They beat Turkish and African people and then throw them out of their country on a regular basis. But all we ever hear about is how America is, you know, screwing the pooch this way or that. Amnesty International has never freed one person from any prison anywhere. All right, then Bush signed a $15 billion aid package to help countries that are suffering from AIDS, that have a high level of AIDS in their country. Okay, this is the other thing that we did wrong. Just so you know, the crap that we're doing that's horrible. We freed some women so they don't have to wear bags in Afghanistan. We took some guys out of political prisons in Iraq, and now we're giving money to help countries who are dealing with AIDS in Africa. And this has shocked the international community. And some dumbass by the name of Justin Forsythe, who's some Brit, they got a problem with everything. He said, well, it's not enough. And America's, you know, the international trade rules are a major obstacle, and America's is a big impediment. Yeah, naturally. Of course we are. We screw everything up. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we make it worse for people. And they're shocked that Bush would come up with $15 billion to help AIDS. Now, let me explain something to you guys. If I sound particularly pissed off about this, it's only because I've got a perspective on history that would really do people a world of good to understand. The United States of America is giving $15 billion, which I know is a big drop in the bucket to all the big spenders out there. You know, the big spenders like France and Germany and Canada, you know those ones? The ones that are really throwing the big dough behind AIDS research and helping people with AIDS. They are doing nickel one. They're sitting on their ass and they're throwing their pot shots as they usually do. But they're not doing anything. And the European Union is the biggest offender. There is a problem. It's called AIDS. It is decimating the populations of Africa. And the United States of America has decided to put $15 billion toward trying to help those people. And what do we get for our trouble? We get crap. It ain't enough. It's not good enough. We shouldn't be giving them any money. The only people that ought to be helping is the European nation, the group of European nations, the European Union nations, because it was the European nations as a whole that bartered in the slave trade, that started the slave trade, that made money on the slave trade. The British, the French, the Portuguese, if it wasn't for the slave trade in Africa, the development of that continent would have continued along normal lines as Europe's did and as Asia's did. But because of the slave trade, that entire continent was stunted as a direct result of the intervention of the slavers from Portugal, Spain, Germany, France, and let's not forget the Netherlands, you know, where the international court is. And, our little friends there, the Danish and the Belgians, they all bought and sold slaves for 500 years. And in the process, destroyed the burgeoning culture of the African continent. And today, we see the result. It's a nation, it's a continent filled with former colonies struggling to survive, people trying to coordinate their African tribal past with the so-called futuristic civilization of Europe. It's rife with warlords, it's rife with all kinds of graft and stealing, and it's the direct result of Europe. It's the direct result of the criminal culpability of the European countries. They started it, they created it, they promoted it, they pushed it, and now they look at us to somehow come up with the answers. We're supposed to be the guys that are going to bail Africa out of the AIDS problem. Why America? The whole African continent is in a state of disarray and in a state of struggle today because of Europe. E-U-R-O-P-E. What's that spell? Europe. Europe. Yay, Europe! All those jackasses over there that tell us that we shouldn't be going into Iraq, all of those jackasses over there that tell us that we ought to watch it with the Arabs, all of the jackasses over there that don't want to be on the dollar, they want to be on the euro, all the jackasses over there that say that this is the America loves to rattle its sabers and America's pushing everybody around, every last one of those scumbags over there are responsible for the plight that the African countries find themselves in today. Not America. Did we trade in slaves? You bet we did. Guess who we bought them from? People like the French and the Germans. I get so tired of hearing this garbage, I could puke my guts up. I could just spew meals that I had 20 years ago. I get so... It becomes a wearying thing, doesn't it? Doesn't it kind of wearing? Oh, here's one more thing that America did wrong. We're giving $15 billion to Africa for AIDS research. And then these jackasses come to you as if they got a real... They got a real grievance. Well, you don't understand, Phil. You don't understand how America... I understand it completely. I understand it totally. What you don't understand is you give a pass to everybody else. Well, the day is over. The day has finished on that one, man. A new era has begun. The minute you open your big fat mouth about America doing bad stuff, there's going to be about 5, 6, 7, 8 other countries we're going to mention, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, we ain't taking it alone anymore. There's going to be about 9, 10 other countries that we're going to start pointing a finger at too. Oh, really? Really? Think we enabled Saddam Hussein, huh? Think we created Saddam Hussein? Let me tell you about the other countries that benefited from Saddam Hussein, that did business with him, and all that other tired, happy horse crap that everybody likes to spew. $15 billion isn't enough for AIDS in Africa? Well, then why don't you people, who started the slave trade in the first place, why don't you do something about it? Or are your economy's a little soft these days, huh? Maybe your leaders are a little soft in the head. You ever think about that? I think you're all soft in places that you shouldn't be soft either. Bob Geldof, by the way, you know who he is. Bob Geldof, a former member of a band called the Boomtown Rats, and later became quite a philanthropist. Bob Geldof has praised the United States $15 billion AIDS package. He has said that it is a wonderful thing. Geldof was quoted as saying, "This is radical and welcoming. We will take the fight against AIDS to new heights." He praised President Bush's efforts. But, you know, President Bush shocked the international community because Bob Geldof, who has always been a fairly honest man, and who's only had, really, in his life, the concerns that he has said this is a good thing. And to all the hipsters out there and everybody that's just too cool for the room, well, that just ain't where it's at. You know, digging Bush for helping AIDS. I mean, the world is turned upside down, man. There's so many things that are wrong. Jacques Chirac, the great defender of liberal European values and the progression of the world into a paradigm where war is not necessary. Jacques Chirac, turns out, is dirty right up to his neck. Has got his hands in a bucket of blood like you wouldn't believe. He's a piece of crap, along with that kraut that he was friends with last summer, that guy that runs Germany. Yeah, things are really looking kind of weird, man. I mean, you can't really trust the people you thought you could trust, huh? There's Bush giving money to a bunch of black guys down in Africa to fight AIDS, and there's Chirac and Schroeder and Schechter and all the rest of those dumbasses with their hands into the bucket of blood right up to their elbows. How about that? Ain't that disquieting? And then there's Amnesty International talking about how the United States is doing not enough for international human rights, and they've never done a thing in the history of their organization. They've never done a thing. It was the United States, and it was the U.S. guns that took the bags off of the Afghan women and took the people out of those prisons in Iraq. Not Amnesty International. They never did anything, and they never will do anything. They're a coffee-clutch society. They're a bunch of pipe suckers. They sit around and scratch their fuzzy heads and talk about how bad America is, and oh yeah, maybe some other countries too, but really, the big bad boy on the block is America. We're so rotten, man, we can't keep them out of here. This country's such a hellhole, we gotta put up chain-link fences and barbed wire to keep people out. That's how bad it is here. And then every dumbass that comes over here gives you the same line. Oh, we don't like the American government. Doesn't mean we dislike the American people. I hate that line most of all. It's the American government we don't like, but we like the American people. American government is the American people. Or maybe you don't know that coming from a country where you got a king. American government is the American people. Whether I like that government or not is beside the point. I get to make fun of my government. I put it there. You keep your big fat mouth shut. I know about the American government. I voted for it, or maybe I didn't vote for it. Maybe I didn't want the one that's in place. I didn't vote for Bush, but I take responsibility for him. I take full responsibility for that guy, whether I voted for him or not. See, I got a little bit in the way of guts, unlike a lot of my fellow countrymen who sit back on their thumb and just take pot shots. I take responsibility for that government. If Bush screws up, I screwed up. So the next guy that comes over here from Bangladesh or France or Russia or anywhere else and says, well, we love the American people, but the American government's a piece of crap, and let me just tell you about it. You know something, man? You don't get this country at all. You don't get it at all. I finally got my Canadian friend from Montreal. I finally got her big mouth shut. She used to come over to the house. I told Marie, I said, look, next time your friend comes over here and she starts in about America's policies, I'm going to throw her out. And guess what? I haven't had to hear a thing since. By the way, they got that woman with the veil on her kisser on TV right now. Man, is that bugging me. What if you're a cop and you pull her over? Okay, let's see your ID. Yeah, that's about the same veil you got on your face right now. Maybe she robs banks that way. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget, I got an interview with Gloria Allred coming up. She took time out from her busy job haunting funeral parlors to come on the air with us. Here is Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
Got me started up on the AIDS thing, though.
Yeah.
I so do not understand it because...
Well, you get it by having sex with...
Okay, yeah, I know that.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand where Bush is coming from. I mean, he's not even helping the people that are in America that have AIDS.
What are you talking about? The National Institute of Health?
Huh?
The National... What do you mean he's not helping the people in America who have AIDS?
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, well, anyway. My point is, if we had a black president today...
I think he is.
There is no way that... a black president would help a continent full of white people with AIDS.
Oh, I see. So it's a whole race deal with you, huh?
Exactly.
It's not about people. It's not about helping people. Well, let me explain life to you now, Melissa. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm now going to give you about 5 years' worth of education.
Okay.
Number one, when you invest, and if you want, you can look at that $15 billion toward curing AIDS as an investment in Africa. When you invest in the well-being of a people... it may just make it easier for them to do business with you down the road. Now, whether you like black people or not, and I suspect maybe you don't,
right.
The fact is there are millions and millions of Africans, and that is called a marketplace. Now, what is a marketplace? It's a place where American business may be able to sell its wares, may be able to sell its products, maybe a business that's owned by you someday. So you see, when we give so-called give money to people, what we're doing is we're investing in the possibility of an economic position in that community. You,
okay.
For instance, when you do a good deed for somebody, you don't do it just because you're doing it. Don't you want to have somebody say thank you and maybe, you know,
right.
Get in good with them? Sure.
Right.
It's the same thing we do. Say what you want about Africa. It will be, in the next 50 years, a burgeoning continent. It is getting its act together slowly. There are governments that are friendly to our government down there. It's some beautiful country. There's all kinds of economic opportunity. And I'm talking about a country, a continent that is not only rich in just beautiful landscape. I'm talking about oil. I'm talking about gold. I'm talking about silver. I'm talking about an enormous resource that the U.S. doesn't have to go down there and exploit, but maybe we can get into business with a friendly government. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's about an investment.
Well, I think there's richer countries that we can help out besides
one. Name one. Name one. I'm telling you, if you want to talk about the future, the next century, you have to look to places like the continent of Africa. You have to look to places like Asia.
Well, why can't the NAACP help out? I mean, they're all...
Melissa, look, take your problem with black folks to a therapist, all right? Good head shrinker. Because the last thing I need to hear is somebody with that twangy Arkansas voice, which I love the people in Arkansas, but put that twang together with black people, I don't like them, and man, you're my blood's starting to just, you know, I'm going to have a stroke, so just bug off. 1-800-449-8686. See, that's what it is. I don't want to give no money to no Negro. Well, look at you, idiot. Here's what it is. You're giving money as an investment in the possible positioning of American business in a marketplace that is going to be enormously profitable for somebody. And maybe we can do it without supporting dictatorships. That would be a nice change of pace for us. Maybe we can do it and do business with governments that treat their people well. That would be cool. I would like to see us do that. I'd like to see the next president's work on that one. If we could just, like, do business with a government that doesn't pull the toenails out of people's feet. That'd be cool. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, the Scott Peterson, wow, what do we got going on here? Sorry. Somebody. They're still getting going at it there at the Paula Zahn casting session here. Anyway, we have Gloria Allred on the line now. She's an attorney who represents Amber Fry in this entire Scott Peterson media circus that's going on. Ms. Allred is well known for just having her face on TV, basically. I think she's a lawyer, and she's been bugging the living hell out of me lately, just looking at her kisser and her grandstanding ways. And we have her on the line right now. Hello, Ms. Allred, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, Gloria, first of all, you asked for more girlfriends of Scott Peterson to step forward. What does that mean?
I don't really know what it means. I just said it to keep my face in front of the cameras.
So it doesn't have any meaning?
No, it really doesn't. I just said, hey, more girlfriends should step forward.
So what? It was...
Well, it was an opportunity, Phil, to have another press conference so people could see me.
What is it with you? Why are you why are you on television? Do you really care about your clients, or is it about notoriety for you?
Well, it's always been about procuring for me some of the same notoriety that I see others get on television, but I'm not particularly... I haven't been particularly successful at it. Because I don't have much of a personality to begin with. And I went out, I bought a new Ann Taylor suit. I thought that would help with my image. So I wanted people to see it. Maybe that they'd say, well, you know, she's pretty good. I like her. I want to hear her on the radio again. I want to watch her on TV. She's wearing a very good Ann Taylor suit. But unfortunately, I've got the look on my face like I just sucked a lemon. And so it's not a very friendly face, and there's nothing I can do about that.
Well, you're not an unattractive woman, but...
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
I'm sorry?
What is that supposed to mean?
I said you're not an unattractive woman.
So it's all about my looks, huh? You know what you are? You're a piece of human walking excrement for saying that I'm good-looking. And if I could, I would sue you until you bled from every hole. But right now...
But Ms. Allred, all I'm saying is, you know...
You said I was good-looking. So, that means I'm going to sue you.
All right, you're ugly as sin.
I'm still going to sue you.
Okay, you're average-looking.
No, I'm suing you for that.
I like your Ann Taylor suit.
I'm suing you because you're a liar.
All right, then let me just get on with my interview with you. Do you care about Amber Frost? I thought you were into Michael Jackson with the baby hanging out the window.
I was, but this was sexier.
I thought you were into, to protecting kids.
I was, but this was sexier.
So it's all about what'll give you more airtime.
Yes, of course, Phil. It's always been about giving me air. Look, my radio career went south because they saddled some poor bastard with me as a sidekick, and I never shut up. I mean, the give and the take, the improv, the timing of radio, all of these things totally escaped me. That's why that show went south, okay? Because I didn't know how to shut up. I didn't know how to work with another member of the, another partner, so to speak. And so our radio show went south. Excuse me. So then I...
That was very nice.
I'm sorry, okay? So I had a little, I had some Quiznos. What, are you going to sue me for that?
Well, no. Why don't you sue me for saying something about you belching?
All right, let me write that down. I'm going to sue you.
Anyway, then
I tried television. The problem with me on television, and I've been on all kinds of shows, I've been on CNN, I've been on Fox, I've been on all kinds of shows, is I still look like somebody farted. You know, in other words, I got that look on my face like someone just cut one extra cheesy, and I'm just, oh, man, it's like the camera just hit my face. And see what I'm saying?
All right, maybe you need to work on face exercises.
Look, I've had 7 Botox treatments. I can't show any emotion now. So you can't bother me, Henry.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just reading what's written. I can't show any emotion now, so you can't bother me.
Okay.
What's that mean, Janice? Could you just write down what that meant?
Okay. Listen, just let's continue with the interview, all right?
All right.
So, what's in store for the future for you?
Well, the future, I'll eventually come out of the closet. That's what I really want to do. And then, of course, I don't know what I'll do. But you better not call me a fag. I'll just say that.
All right, Gloria. Well, you're going to come out, so you are gay.
Don't ever say that. I'll say it when I'm ready.
All right, Gloria Allred, who may or may not be gay.
Did I tell you I had 7 Botox treatments?
Yes, you did.
Well, I guess I better go then.
Yeah, I'll see you later. 1-800-449-8686. Glory Allred, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Speaking of Scott Peterson, a new study says psychopaths connect violence with pleasure and are not able to maintain normal relations with people. Also, in other news today, they found out that if you wipe after you go to the bathroom, it actually feels better. Well, that's great. Psychopaths connect violence with pleasure. No. Do you think? A new study released today says psychopaths don't have normal relations with people. Now, who conducted this study? Where and how? You got it. France. No, it wasn't France. It was actually our good friends in the United Kingdom. But the point being, this is something that the FBI and really anybody, I mean, Captain Kangaroo, anyone's, Lizzie McGuire's known this for 10, 15 years. Psychopaths connect violence with pleasure and are not unable to maintain normal relations with people. While psychopaths who commit murder may often claim to think violence is wrong, the current findings stem from the results of tests designed to measure people's underlying attitudes towards a concept. So they think it's pleasurable even though they know what they're doing is wrong. Psychopaths, despite evidence of charm and skill, are commonly unable to maintain affectionate relationships with others while routinely engaging in impulsive, immoral, and hostile behavior unhampered by guilt. No kidding. That's what a psychopath is. He has no conscience. He's either born without a conscience or he loses it within the first 3 years of his life. The relatively positive attitude toward violence was not seen in either murderers who were not psychopaths or other men with personality disorders. So when you look at that guy Peterson and you say to yourself, yeah, you know, he looks, maybe that Garagos guy's got something. I, You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the guy didn't. Yeah, that's exactly what a psychopath is able to do to you. He's innocent. What? I don't understand, Mr. Peterson. We've arrested you for the murder of your wife. But why? I didn't do anything. And he has women sending him love letters, and they're sending him flowers and cakes and candies, and they want to have his second, third, fifth, ninth, tenth child. And he's got the new haircut, the buzz cut, and this Garagos guy, who, by the way, is handling this case masterfully. The other day he said, we're looking for the real murderer. Now, who does that remind you of? You got it, OJ. The last thing this guy wants people to be reminded of. Good move there. That's why you're never going to be Johnny Cochran there, Garagos, or Galagos, or Gagos. I don't know how this guy's name's pronounced, and I don't need to know, because come next summer, this guy's going to be a warm fart. You won't remember what he looked like. This guy's not a heavyweight. You ain't no Cochran. You're not Melvin Belli. You're not that other nut that they had. Remember, who was the guy that they had back in the OJ trial who lives in West Palm Beach? Who's the big heavyweight? What was his name? William F. Bailey? F. Lee Bailey. William F. Bailey. F. Lee Bailey. You're not going to go down in history, man. You're not going to do it. I can tell when I look at a guy whether he's really got the juice. Like this guy Cochran, say what you want about him. You can tell he's one hell of a trial attorney. You can tell. You know he's been to war. You know he's seen every trick, and you know that he's had to do battle with every trick in the book. And the F. Lee Baileys of the world, and the Melvin Bellis of the world, and on and on and on and on it goes. This guy Garagos, he looks like he's going to get carved up. He can't be that bright if he's bringing out that OJ material. Are you kidding me? We're going to find the real murderer. We'll find him. And what did you just do? Well, just shut up for a minute, Scott. I'm handling this. We're going to look for... Don't tell them about a real murderer. They're going to remind me of OJ. Just handle it, Scott. Just shut your mouth, okay? The buzz cut, I like that. It's a nice touch. Now, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking for the... You can't talk about it. Just sit down. And in conclusion, I'd like to say that if I ever do get my gig back on Fox, I won't blow it this time. And by the way, that other cat looks like a real jackass. Whatever the guy was, who's the guy they hired? Combs? Holmes? Larry Holmes? What did you just do, man? You just told him that you're going to find the real murderer. Do you know what that makes me look like? Oh, come on, Scott. What do you mean, oh, come on, Scott? I'm trying to get away with murder here. How do you like this? If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, yeah. I heard that one all through the OJ thing. And I got these gloves I want you to put on. Will you get out of here with that? They're going to cook me. Don't worry, Mr. Peterson, and I've talked to your parents, and of course they're paying me, and my usual fee, which is $2,000 an hour. $2,000 an hour, God almighty, I hope my folks don't go broke trying to defend me. I mean, did you kill her, by the way? Oh, yeah, sure I did. Okay, great. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'll still get you off. One way or another, I'll get you off. Speaking of gloves. Now, I have a couple of other bright ideas. Was there anybody home when you came back from cutting your wife up and carving her up and dumping her in a bay? Like maybe some dumbass with a haircut sitting in a guest house? Maybe a guy by the name of Cato? You know what? You're going to have me cooked, man, if you keep up with that stuff. What are you talking about? All that OJ comparison stuff? Shut up. And especially that satanic cult thing.
Why is that?
It reminds me of that Cuban, Cuban necklace. That, what was that called? The Colombian necklace where they cut the neck off? That's what they thought that they did to OJ's old lady.
You're not making any sense. You know, you really have to go back in put him back in his cage, will you?
That's another thing this guy did. He said it's a satanic cult. Well, you remember the OJ trial? They thought that Nicole Brown was killed by a Colombian drug gang and her throat was cut because that's called a Colombian necklace. Cuban necktie. That's what it's called. It's one of those countries down there that cuts your throat. Cuba, Colombia, Canada. One of them down there. Yeah. How do you know so much about this stuff? Anything that has necklace in it, how do you know about it, Chris? You knew about pearl necklace, you know about Colombian necklace. What a sick and twisted man you is. So this guy is making all the right moves. He is doing it, and he's doing it big time. And by the time this case is over with, he's going to be a piece of crap. Look, just because this cat's got on his resume, Roger Clinton, okay, Susan McDougal, Gary Condit, and Winona Ryder. I don't call that necessarily A-list stuff. It ain't A-list stuff. That ain't the big time. Robert Downey Jr., nah. Robert Downey Jr., that's not the big. OJ's about as big as it gets. Don't you think? Murder. That's what we're talking about. Murder. Now, Scott Peterson, how this became famous, I don't know. This trial has taken on a life of its own. And it may be because of the particularly cold-blooded way he went about lying to everybody about how this happened, right? I mean, the guy's not even a movie star. He ain't jumping over cars in the airport. He's not running for the Buffalo Bills. He's just some schmuck, big fat drink of water sitting there like a lump of crap in a chair. Now, why do we care? Because, first of all, the brazenness with which this guy lies, that's number one. Number two, the woman that he killed looked really all-American, looked like anybody's sister. Looks like anybody's sister, you know? She was pregnant. That's another thing that kind of gets people hot under the collar. And the fact that the guy was out giving interviews on Good Morning America, talking to the press, and doing all of this stuff while his wife was supposedly missing, that smacked of a bad smell. Then, the car is sold. What are you doing that for? The house is put on the market. Why are you doing that? No wonder people don't like him. Enter this Garagos guy, and he wants to reincarnate this guy as Joan of Arc. This is going to be the next the second coming there of Tiny Tim.
I would never kill nobody.
That's right. I want you to just do the.
Well, why do you want me to do this for?
Let me just talk about normal. No, come on, do the Tiny Tim.
I don't want to hurt no one.
Good. Just be a retard up there. That's the only way I'm going to get you off, Scott.
Well, I don't know if I.
I want you to just get up there and act like you took a brain. You took a shot to the dome. All right. What do you say? You got to get up there and act stupid. Otherwise, you're cooked, man. They're going to fry you. They're going to saute you. They'll grill you. They'll bake you. They'll parboil you. And then you're done. Now, just say it.
I don't know. Hurt nobody.
Perfect. That's it. Play that whole of Mice and Men bit, like that big, dumb George or Lenny, whoever the dumbass was. Because I can't get you off other than that, Scott. You are going away, baby, and you're going away for a long time, or they're going to stretch your neck. Why I took this case? Why, in God's name, I should have dumped you off on Allred when she was looking for the big time. She's looking for all the fame. Why don't I dump you off on her?
What are you saying? You quit?
I got to quit, man. I can't win this case. I'm as stupid as the day is long. I got the big, bushy walrus mustache. I'm better just sitting there next to that blonde on Fox and saying, being glib. That's what I do. I want to be glib, and I want to get this deal done with. I don't need you or anybody else like you. You're a freaking albatross around my neck. Well, then why did you take the case? Because I needed the publicity. Get all right. Hello, Gloria. Come on over here. I know he's a man. You can represent him, can't you? All right. Well, grow his hair long. Get rid of that fry broad. This is the case. This is the big deal, man. You're going to have your face as, you know, as disheartening as it sounds, your face will be in the newspaper every day. Come on, Gloria, this is it, baby. This is the ultimate ambulance. This is the ultimate funeral parlor. This is the ultimate waiting room, hanging around all those years in all those waiting rooms, dropping your card in the lap of some woman who just had somebody go into a coma. You don't need to do that anymore. All those years going to automobile accidents out of the Hollywood freeway and dropping your card on some guy that didn't have his legs anymore. You don't need to do that anymore, okay? Come on over here. I got the Scott Peterson case for you. By the way, Gloria, are you gay? All right. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we will be talking with the Dooleys. And I also want to tell you about our website, philhenryshow.com. That's where you can pick up any of the wonderful pieces of merchandise in our souvenir shop. One in particular, though, I'd like you to know about, and that is our Best Of CD, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD. It's got classic bits from the last year, 2002, and it is a two-CD set. For the first time, we are selling you a two-CD set for the price of one. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and then log on. All of the money that we raise through the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. They come from all over the country, and they're taken care of out here by some of the greatest people I've ever met, the people at my friend's place. So if you can, pick up our CD. All of the money that we raise from that goes to my friend's place. Otherwise, get yourself a coffee mug or a bowling shirt from Ted Bell. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.